As our custom when we have Lord's Supper to have the word first, so our reading this morning is taken from Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Dear people of God, Romans 1 tells us that God's invisible and eternal power and deity and characteristics are clearly perceived in the things that have been made. In other words, simply by looking at creation, we can understand and comprehend various things about God, his being and his attributes. In fact, we are also told and read in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus Christ often used parables, and we define them as earthly stories with heavenly meanings. So in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is using that which we can see, that which we experience day by day, and he brings spiritual truths that are illuminated, expressed in these physical ways. And this highlights then for us this connection between the physical realm in which we live and the spiritual realm. There is a connection between the two. And certainly our passage this morning connects the two things. Talks about bread and wine and milk, how they feed us. And the Lord is saying, why do you spend your money and effort on these things that don't really satisfy you? That is, satisfy your soul, spiritual level. And he's calling people to come to him and receive from him food for the soul. But he couches it in very physical and earthly terms. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ was very specific in his ministry when he spoke about the fact that he is the manna from heaven. He is the bread from heaven, and that they need to eat his flesh. So even more direct connection, particularized in terms of his death, his flesh and his blood, and that they need to eat from that if they are to be nourished in their souls. And so we want to look at that in preparation for the Lord's Supper, and also you might reference Article 25 of the Belgic Confession that also talks about the Lord's Supper and also brings these two aspects together. And when we look at Belgic Confession Article 25, it begins with this truth that as human beings, and more particularly as believers, we have a physical life, but we also have spiritual life. And both are taken care of God, by God. And so it speaks about physical life that that we have, that we share with all unbelievers. So it's not just we that have received, as believers, received physical life. God has given physical life to everybody, everybody that is alive, everybody that is born. And in connection with that then, that he gives us food. He provides for all that we need for life. So the world in which we live in, right from the beginning, produced food that was fit for our needs. And so Adam and Eve could survive, even though they, of course, after the fall, they had to work for it, had to till the ground. Nevertheless, they could survive. And if God hadn't have done that, they could not have survived. Perhaps they could have had water, but of course that's what God provided as well. Because without food, without water, we don't last very long. And so God has provided all of those things for us. And so in connection with that then, in terms of our spiritual needs, God has also provided spiritually for us. And we need to be aware of the means by which we receive that nourishment and what that nourishment is. Because if we neglect that, then that's just as serious as Adam and Eve being placed on this earth and ignoring all the agricultural benefits that God provided and just ignoring them and not touching them. They would not have survived very long, even though they had been given food. And so the believer now has to understand both on the physical level as well as the spiritual level that God has provided plentifully and at no cost. So we didn't have to pay for this creation. We didn't have to pay for all the benefits that we have from agriculture and indeed the animals. All of that was given to us freely. So as I say, this is what believers share with unbelievers. But for us, in our situation, we also have received spiritual life. And just as the first life came to us through physical birth, well, there is a correspondence to that in the spiritual realm, so that we also have a birth into the spiritual realm. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, spoke about that, right? That you have to be born again. And that's how we refer to believers in these days, to set them apart from those that just say they're Christians. We add the fact that we are born again, right? Believers. And so that there's a correspondence between the two lives that we have, physical and spiritual. So we do have to be born again. We can't just assume that we have spiritual life. No, just as our first life comes at a certain point and a point that we celebrate and experience, so it is with the spiritual life. It is true, of course, that in our covenant community, people do experience the fact that they hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, they believe a little bit at a time as they grow, and they really can't pinpoint when it is that they have become Christians, been born again. But of course, we've addressed that many times before by saying we're just focusing on the wrong question when we say, when exactly was I born? The far more important question is, am I alive? Right? In our case, am I spiritually alive? Do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I believe the gospel? Do I live to love Him and serve Him all of our life? So we know whether we are spiritually born, whether we're the children of God. And I trust that we all can answer that question for ourselves very clearly. But having answered that question, we do have to come to this aspect, though, that we need to be fed. We need that life to be sustained. And just as our earthly life can suffer greatly from not taking care of ourselves, not eating, not using the provisions that God has given to us, well, it's the same in the spiritual life. And so this morning we have emphasized for us the fact that God provides us spiritual nourishment. And this is a symbol of that, a reminder of that. But remember, this is not the only time that we are spiritually nourished, is when we come to the Lord's Supper. That's not the point. So we mustn't say, well, since I've been to the Lord's Supper, I've been spiritually nourished. That's it, I don't need any more. No. This is only a reminder to us, also a feast in itself, of course, but it's a reminder to us that we need to be spiritually fed every day. Every day we need to have this experience of receiving from God's hand and being nourished in our souls. But in connection with the food, we have earthly food. So God has provided, as I've said, in this world, and so graciously, so many different kinds of foods. And given the fact that some people like this, some people like this, some people, it's just as well. Just as well, God didn't just provide a vegetable, right? Because our children wouldn't live that long. But so many different varieties. But we need that food. We need to eat that food. And without anybody badgering us, we ought to, a lesser or greater degree, make use of that food. All of us. I'm sure all of us ate something this morning already. And no doubt we'll eat something for the rest of the day as well, and into the evening. It's a natural part of our life. We understand that we have to eat. And I may suggest to you there's something beneficial in thinking about all the different ways that we fall with respect to maintaining a healthy diet of food and exercise in our physical lives have counterparts in the spiritual. You may spend some time yourself thinking about that. We need to eat food, just in the physical realm. We need to eat food, we understand that. But there's all kinds of mistakes we make. You know, and it goes across the spectrum. To those that eat very little and almost starve themselves, and we can see it in the way that they look, right? And we see it in magazines or in the news and on TV, especially with respect to women, of course, conscious of their image. I mean, it just goes to the extreme. But people fall into that trap. And they get all kinds of messages from the world that lead them into that that direction. And I'm saying there's a counterpart to that in the spiritual realm, too. We don't eat. Or we eat very little, bare minimum. I don't know, because somehow it has benefits for them. I don't know what the benefits are. But in the physical realm, of course, the benefits are that you look very slim, right? Unfortunately, it looks like you're dying. I don't know how attractive that is. But obviously for them, there's some benefit to that. So what's the benefit of not eating enough in the spiritual realm? Well, because you don't stand out from the world. You look like them. You don't want people to see you praying, or people to see you reading the Bible, or people knowing that you go to church, because somehow they'll look down on it. So we do the bare minimum to get away with it. On the other end of the scale, people can eat too much food. That is damaging to our health as well. And especially in this country, of course, billions of dollars are spent in terms of helping and encouraging people, not, as I said, not only at the extremes, but in between as well, right? We can eat food, a lot of food, but it has no really good benefit to it. It's negative benefit. We eat out all the time. We eat fast food. We eat too much sugar and things like that. So I'm saying all of those things, you know, we can meditate on and say, well, what kind of correspondence is there in the spiritual realm? I mean, we can be at church every day of the week. We can go to umpteen Bible studies. We can go to umpteen conferences. I'm saying that can become a negative, just like eating too much can be a negative. Because we don't have a balance. And sometimes we eat empty calories. And as I said, that it's up to you how you kind of reflect on that and see what correspondence you see. But you know, if we're just going from one place to another, just having a good time and experiencing, just all about experience, and it really is not building up our faith at all, it's just having a good time, I'm saying it's just empty calories. But people think it's spiritual that we're doing these things. It's spiritual we're going to one meeting after another. But they're not growing in the faith. Empty calories. So God has provided food, but we have to be careful how we use that food. And certainly, since we have to be careful in the physical realm, we have to be careful in the spiritual realm. Don't allow yourselves to be abused, manipulated, used by people. To get you to go to, as I say, not the conferences are wrong, not the meetings are wrong, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying when our diet is only of that, then there's something wrong. But we need to have a balance and a good regimen of in terms of how we eat and how we exercise. All of that, as I say, God has wonderfully placed us in a world where these truths can be gotten from the physical world and their correspondence found in the spiritual. So we need a healthy system whereby we eat, we exercise too. So not only do we grow in our faith by reading the scripture, we have to do something. As James says, don't be just hearers of the word, be doers of the word. And so we need that balance that is given. But then there's also an aspect about feeding that the Belgic Confession talks about, which is that God has given to us all this food, physically speaking, but he's also given us a means of using that food, of taking that food in. And so in our bodies, God has given us a mouth. Because if we had all of the world that we have around us and God didn't give us a mouth, it wouldn't really help, would it? However wonderful the fruit was that came up, and the food that the fields would bring forth, it would be absolutely useless if we couldn't eat it. So our mouth is absolutely essential. And you know how difficult it is if we have problems with our mouth. We have to be fed in other ways. And so we have to be mindful, and not only the mouth, of course, but all the digestive system. If we have problems with that, we have problems in taking in the nourishment from these foods that God intended. So in the spiritual realm, we need an equivalent to the mouth. And the equivalent to the mouth in the spiritual realm is faith. If we don't have faith, we cannot make use of any of the spiritual blessings and nourishment God has provided for us. We can sit and watch and see all of these avenues that God has given, but we will never, never derive any benefit from them. In the spiritual realm, the mouth corresponds to faith. And so that's an important thing for us to understand. We may come to church, we may be associated with Christians, we may even go to Bible study, we may go to conferences, we may go to all kinds of things. But until you come to faith, until you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will derive nothing of spiritual nourishment. So we can forget about benefit by association. No, it doesn't. So you have to ask yourself, look, have I come to faith? Do I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Has He given me faith? Faith by which I can make use of all of these blessings that God has provided, all the grace that God has provided through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the grace that I can receive from reading the scriptures, of praying to Him, being with God's people, coming to the Lord's Supper, fellowshipping with God's people in worship. All of those things will not benefit us until we come to faith. Now you may say, well, in that case, I shouldn't be in church. No, no, no. We need to be in those places so that we can hear the good news. Because how is it that we come to faith? How is it that we come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Through the hearing of the Word. And so we have to be in places where we hear God's Word. But ultimately, we have to understand that we do need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that we receive faith. And by the way, as we will see this this evening, not only do we receive faith, but we also receive the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that takes these blessings and applies them to our life. He's the Comforter. And again, just in terms of correspondence between the two, I mean, the Holy Spirit, in a sense, is the person that takes the gifts that Christ has won for us and applies them to our life, makes us grow. And in that sense, I guess, very loosely, we could see the Holy Spirit in terms of physically, in terms of our digestive system. It's the thing that takes the food that comes and takes all the nutrients out of it and sends it to different parts of the body. So we are equipped when we come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with faith. But lastly, the Belgic Confession, Article 25, also speaks about the whole aspect of who has access to these spiritual blessings, these spiritual nourishments that God has provided. And it tells us that unbelievers are denied. And in one way, as I say, they are denied by themselves. They deny themselves. Because when they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I've said, they don't have faith. So even if they were to sit in the church and partake of this Holy Supper, as well as the means of grace that we have every week as we worship, every time when we study the Bible, every time when we pray, even if they did engage in those activities, they receive no benefit. So it's a waste of time. It's pretense, first, because they're claiming to be something that they're not. And so now they're trying to eat something that really is not applicable to them. They will receive nothing. So you might say, well, why do we even make an effort then to tell people not to partake of the Lord's Supper? I mean, if they're not going to benefit anything anyway, so what damage is done? Well, the damage is done, first of all, because they receive from us this kind of confirmation, falsely, that we view them as believers, that we view them as part of our family, that we view them as Christians, when in fact they're not. And so we give them a false hope. They go out of the church and they think, oh yeah, I'm one with them. They let me take part of the Lord's Supper. They think we're one of them. Oh, so I must be. And they go away with the wrong impression. And so we give a wrong witness. But even beyond that, the Lord's Supper is such an important event in the life of the church, and what we're doing is so important that God takes it as a very big insult when people partake of these precious elements without due regard for the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't honor Him. They don't live according to His Word. They don't believe His Word. And yet they have the audacity to sit and take part of the Lord's Supper. It profanes the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God doesn't take that lightly. In fact, He doesn't take it lightly when believers do it. I mean, even if we are believers and we come to the Lord's table and we have little regard for God, little regard for the gospel, we're not living a Christian life, just as it was in Corinth. Here they were coming to the Lord's Supper. They weren't acting as Christians at all. In fact, they were envious of one another. They were proud with respect to one another. So people that were rich were coming with luxurious food and wine. And they were having, you know, a feast. And there were other people that were poor, that didn't have much, that were coming with hardly anything. And they kind of highlighted that. And so they made mockery of the gospel. And Paul writes to the Corinthians telling them off for doing these things, but also bringing this sobering message that he says that some of you are sick and some of you have fallen asleep because of God's punishment, or we should say discipline. So if God acts that way even towards His children that take the Lord's Supper lightly, then how much more to unbelievers? So our place around the Lord's table is something that is very valuable. And it's a privilege for us as believers to come around the Lord's table. And so when we receive the Lord's Supper, it's really confirmation from God toward us that yes, we are part of His family. We are invited. We have a place around the Lord's table, around His, the table, the family table, and we can come. And it's not we that decide in and of ourselves. It is official. It's the church officially that brings to you the sacrament, because the church officially recognizes you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not just a personal thing that we say, yeah, I think I'm a Christian. No. There's verification of that by official avenues, because you've done profession of faith. And we have questioned you as elders to make sure that you understand what the Christian faith is and that you believe. And that we look over your life on a regular basis to make sure that you're walking along that path, that you're not blatantly ignoring God's word. So all of these things together grant us wonderful assurance that yes, I'm a child of God. Yes, I'm part of the family of God. And that they are bringing to me, these avenues of nourishment are open to me. And God is feeding me with His precious Son, the flesh and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we need to partake of that, thankfully. But as I was saying earlier, this isn't the only means of us being nourished. I mean, just imagine that the only time we ate was when we had our monthly luncheon. And that's the only time we eat. We don't eat for the rest of the month. I mean, that would be terrible, right? So it is here. If this is the only time that you eat, as it were, then you're going to be spiritually starved. This is a sacrament. This is highlighting the privileges that you and I have continually. And just as we receive spiritual nourishment through the celebration of the Lord's Supper, as we reflect upon what these elements mean, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, and as we think about those things, as we believe those things, then that's the benefit that we receive. That's what nourishes our spiritual life. It's obviously, it's not the little piece of bread, it's not the little piece of wine. I mean, that's not going to do it. But they represent the whole body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was given for you on the cross. And from the cross flows this river of grace that we need to use every day. So this is a reminder to you that you need to be eating at this table every day. And so we think about the means of grace that God has provided. Not only through the worship, through the preaching, of course, we receive grace as we take those truths and embrace them. But also when you go home, when you read the scriptures yourself, when you pray to God, when you attend Bible study with others and you eat of God's word. All of those ways are ways that you can be fed spiritually. And so you have to make sure then that not only this morning, but also for the rest of the week, that you do feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important. Every meal is important for us. And so every time that we come to the Lord's Supper, every time that we come to the Lord, in terms of, as I said, prayer, in terms of Bible study, in terms of calling upon him for help, worshiping, all of those are means of grace. And we need to make use of them and be thankful to God that he provides them for us and that we are equipped by faith that he's given to us, also by the Holy Spirit that is with us continually, that we can grow and that we can mature in the Christian faith and that we can serve him with all the strength that he provides. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you provide us so wonderfully, so richly, so appropriately with the things that we need, both in the physical realm as well as the spiritual realm. And our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you've given us spiritual lives, because we know that we had died as far as that was concerned when our first parents rebelled against you and we fell with them. But our Father, we're so thankful that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have had that second birth, that we've been brought to faith, that you've opened our eyes, that you have made us alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, we're thankful for this eternal life that you've given to us. And we're also thankful for the nourishments that you provide so that we may remain strong in our faith, that we may grow and mature in our relationship with you and in our faith and love for you. And our Father, we're thankful for all the means that you've provided. We're thankful for the church and the sacraments and all the other avenues of grace. And our Father, we pray that we might understand how important they are to each and every one of us. And Lord, that we may use them wisely and in a way that will benefit our souls. And our Father, we pray that you would bless us as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And Lord, may it be a reminder to us of the richness that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ and the access that we have to your throne of grace every day. Our Father, we pray that your people would be nourished and continue to be nourished by you on your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.